Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley field. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know a righteous man will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my hand. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we're living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in whipping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley field. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God!
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in a lake that's burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything in my life between me and you, God, help me to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of the way.
All right, blessings and shalom, Israel. I hope everybody's doing well on this first day of the week, or entering into the second day of the week here, I guess it is. Bless you all. Welcome to this edition tonight of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for the radio check already. Appreciate it. This edition of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Elder Douglas Becker. That's me. I'm here tonight. I really hope you all doing well. Sincerely, I mean that. I hope you had a blessed week. I know you had a beautiful Shabbat. Teacher Shane filling in wonderfully for our shepherd. And that beautiful message of sacrifice, the sacrifice within. And if you're Israel, truly Israel, you will get tested. There is no doubt about it. That's how the Father's come to prove us and purify us and make us ready for his coming. So, I mean, if you ain't willing to suffer loss, boy, you might as well head back to the other direction again. Yeah, it was a really good message. Very impactful, very powerful. And I was kind of really satisfied. I mean, of course, not only with the message. Thank you, son. Not only with the message, of course, and how timely it was, but I also love how Yah does things, because a lot of what Brother Shane covered yesterday in his message is, quite frankly, a lot of what I have in this one tonight. So, you know, I thank the Father for being led to the Ruach HaKodesh in giving the saints just exactly what he wants them to hear and not what we think they should hear. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Well, people are slowly filling in, so glory, glory, glory. Well, if you haven't caught the title, tonight's message is called Adversity. And actually, I had one of them days, and I mean, it was one of them days where it's like everything was a test of adversity. And I thought, man, and then I'm been asking the Father for, you know, of course, what to bring to Blog Talk, what to bring to the table. And, you know, he just kind of dropped me in the spirit just after having a day of experience it, that, you know, Jesus said all things common. We have all things common. Isn't that the truth? And adversity, you know, we have it in the world. We had it in the natural, but the thing about adversity, when we were in, avoid it, to not face it, to not deal with it, we did that which was ever comfortable for our flesh, to satisfy it, to bring us comfort, because nobody likes to face challenges in the natural. But as saints, you've got no choice. It's going to be necessary, because what it does is, it's going to teach you pressing through it. It's going to teach you determination, perseverance, endurance, strength, patience, and faith. All these things from the adversity that we face. But, you know, the thing is that we have to understand what we're dealing with, because the idea is, you know, most of this stuff, I believe, does come from Satan, but obviously, Yah said he's gonna prove us, and he may allow Satan, or does allow. We have Job, the perfect example of adversity and what he went through to persevere, to finally, you know, on many occasions he lost hope, he was in dread, he was in anguish of spirit and grief and everything else, and yet Yah preserved him through all that to teach him a lesson after it was all said and done, and even rewarded him greatly. So who are we to think that we would escape such trials and tests? Yahshua is a prime example. I mean, nobody's going to get past this. You know, it's a straight gate. So obviously, that's how much Yah loves us. And those that can cut it are going to cut it. And those that can't, well, they've got their own things to say before the Most High in the Day of Judgment, and I don't want to be one of them that drops out of the race. But anyway, again, this is something that doesn't get past anybody. If you're truly in this race, you will not squeeze by without facing adversity. In this life right now, it's actually light. You know, we have adversity against our mental capacity and challenges against our spirit, but the one thing that we're lacking yet, and I'm fairly convinced that we'll see in the coming days, is that there's going to be a trial and test of our flesh. The actual, you know, pain is a tough opponent. But imagine when somebody's actually inflicting it on you, would you be able to handle the adversity that you're faced with and press through? I hope so. I mean, how about eating once every 3 days, or eating once a week, or even one meal a day of the same thing every day? For some people, that's adversity. Other people, it's thankfulness. But who can honestly say that they're going to be able to face that adversity with, you know, without any challenges and come through with flying colors if you've never been put through it. So take heed lest ye fall, you know. Anyway, with that, we're going to get started. I just got to mention, when I was sitting there meditating, for all of you on Facebook, I'm sure you all heard Brother Steve and Sisters Wendy, 6 years of adversity they faced against the Romans, man. Hey, glory to the King. Yah prevailed. I bet you all got a sigh of relief getting out of that mess. I know you do. My goodness. But it was your perseverance and your patience and your trusting in Yah that brought you through it and put you out on top, was it not? Glory to the King. So that's a prime example of just one of the many things that, we don't give up hope. We push through and press through. But with that, we're going to get started. This should only be about an hour. Of course, like all the topics that we cover in our blog talks, Yah is endless. So, trying to narrow it down to keep it in, a certain limitation time frame, we try. But, of course, you could pick up the same thing and go over and over and over. But anyway, with all that being said, thank you again, Brother Ugly, for posting for the saints to see so they can follow along. Always greatly appreciated. And for everyone that, contributes to the ministry, either, hands-on, but more importantly in prayer, probably the greatest thing that we can possibly have is an assembly, is prayer. Lifting up one another, building up one another in the most holy faith. But with that, tonight's topic, of course, is adversity. And with that, we're going to start by defining what adversity is according to our Hebrew language. So the Hebrew 68:69, and this is in the Brown Driver Briggs, Brother Paul. And it's the Hebrew 68:69 and Brown Driver Briggs. It means straits, distress, trouble. It means vexer or a rival wife. What in the world? A rival wife, huh? That's adversity. Kind of like a Leah and Rachel thing or Penaniah and Hananiah or Hannah. And it comes from the Hebrew 68:62. We're going to break down this word adversity some more. And it means it's tazar, which is narrow, tight, straits, distress, adversary, help me, Jesus, foe, enemy, oppressor, hard pebble, flint. So you can see by the definitions that adversity definitely has something that presses against us. And that comes from the Hebrew 68:87. Basically all the same root word. And again, the Brown Driver Briggs, excuse me, Brother Paul, these are all Brown Driver Briggs. It means to bind, to be narrow, be in distress. And adversity means to be in distress. It means to make narrow, to cause distress, besiege. You're under attack. Be straightened, be bound, to bind, tie up, shut up, to be scant, cramped, be in straits, to be bound, be tied up, to make narrow for, getting very tight. Cause distress to, press hard upon, to suffer distress, to show hostility toward, vex, to show hostility toward, treat with enmity, vex, harass, vexer, harassers, and all these things, of course, our flesh and our spirit, man, or especially our flesh, I should say, doesn't like, doesn't care to, because it runs to comfort and ease. That don't matter if it's in a fleshly solution, which it is most of the time, or fleshly comfort just to escape the adversity, or just giving up and walking away, whatever the case may be. All right, starting out, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So we already know who our adversary is. It's Satan, the high Satan, Ha-Satan. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So he's got it. Satan's got a program. He's got something he fully intends to do, and that is seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. So it's giving you clear indication, clear direction on how to resist your adversary, the devil. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished, the same things that are undergone, the same things that are faced, the same afflictions are in your brethren that are in the world. So the same thing they face. So all things common to us were in the faith of Israel. I got to reposition my chair. Give me 1 second here. But the word adversary, as it is in verse 8 in 1 Peter 5:8, it means, it's the Greek 476. Antidikos. It means an opponent. Now, Pastor Dahl brought this up wonderfully in the teachings he did for us in Shabbat back, I don't know, two months ago, I guess it was, you know, in the beginning of the dead season, about standing before the court of the Most High. An opponent in a lawsuit, specifically Satan, is the arch enemy, the adversaries, and the word afflictions. That was in the Greek. I mean, that was in the Strong, excuse me, but this is in the Thayer definition. The afflictions, Greek 3804. That which one suffers or has suffered. So knowing that the same affliction, the same suffering, the same trials, temptations, the same tribulations that your brethren face, that you're going to face. No one's going to escape. Externally, a suffering, misfortune, calamity, evil, affliction, the sufferings of Yahshua. Also the afflictions which saints must undergo on behalf of the same cause which Christ patiently endured for our perfection. An enduring and undergoing a suffering. So we pretty much defined who our adversary is. It comes from Satan. It comes from his hand. And it's designed that way to see if we're actually going to stay in this race or we're going to drop out. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 22. Acts 14, 19 through 22. And it is, and there came thither certain Yehudims from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, Paul's already facing afflictions, already facing the adversity of those that are supposed to be of his fellowship, of the Yehudims, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why? Because they obviously seen and heard of what our early fathers were going through after the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahshua. And they were trying to reassure him because they were seeing the sufferings the Apostle Paul, Saul, was going through. They seen that what it was, what he was, the attacks he was coming under from those of his own countrymen, just for standing for the truth of Yah's word. And he says, in exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of Yah. Well, why? I mean, why does it take all that? Why does it clearly written that we must, through much tribulation, enter in the kingdom of Yah? I mean, when there's fire lit trying to burn out the dross, the heat has to be pretty intense, doesn't it? Now, that can be tribulation. And it is tribulation. Again, Yah's going to have a people prepared for him, white, spotless, and pure. And he's going to obviously see what we're made of, what our character is, not just speaking with our mouth, but what we can, you know, honestly take. And what we are willing to sacrifice, as Teacher Shane talked about last night, to be called children of the Most High. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. And Solomon says, consider the work of Yah. I mean, take careful thought about it. Stop and meditate on it. For who can make which he hath made crooked? Who can undo anything that the Creator has done? Or change or alter anything that's gone out of his mouth? There is nobody. He is the ultimate power and authority. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Why should you? Because in the day of prosperity, you're at peace, you're at ease, everything's going well, life is good, right? I mean, obviously, everybody likes them joyful days, them times of prosperity. It's not talking, you know, physically material. It's talking about what's going on in the inner man. I mean, haven't you said to yourself, man, I've had these good days and I've had these rough days, and you yearn for the good days. And I actually believe that's the Most High and His grace and mercy giving us the ability to recover, to get ready for the next challenge or the next trial, the tribulation that we are to face. That's His goodness. That's His mercy. But in the day of adversity, consider. Also, take careful thought. Don't lose your patience. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your trust in the Most High. What is this all about? Yeah, what's going on here? Stop and consider what you're facing. Yah also have set the one over against the other, prosperity and adversity, to the end that man should find nothing after him. It's all in front of you. It's all what the Most High puts out there for your exhortation, for your learning, for your teaching, for your sanctification. The word consider in verse 14 is again out of the Brown Drivers, Brother Ugly. It's the Hebrew 7200. Again, Hebrew 7200, it means to look at, inspect, perceive, consider. Inspect it in the day of adversity, inspect it. Take a look at it, consider it, perceive it. To see, perceive, to have vision, to have focus, to sit back for a minute, look at things objectively. Why is this happening? Why am I being tested? What is this for? What can I learn out of it? To look at, see, regard, look after, see after, learn about. It's all about teaching and getting an understanding and education and growing in knowledge of Him. Observe, watch. How do we do that constructively? I mean, when you get so caught up in what's going on, either in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, your heart, your flesh, whatever the case is, it causes a distraction and a hindrance, and it's there to get our mind off of the Most High when we should be keeping it on Him. Look upon, look out, find out. To see, observe, consider, look at, give attention to. Remember, in the day of adversity, give attention to it. Discern it. Distinguish it. Make sense of it. Why is this going on? Ask the Father. Trust Him. Put it before Him in prayer. Step away from whatever it is if you can. To look at, to gaze at, to appear, present oneself. I mean, it's all there to see if you're going to pass or fail. And if you fail, Yah loves you enough, He's going to bring it through you again until you finally pass that particular part of your life that's adverse, that you have trouble getting past. To be seen, to cause, to see, to show. I mean, we've all been in situations where we just want to give out, especially when something continues to egg on and grind, and it's continuing on our mind, and it's trying there to steal our peace, steal our hope. It does nothing but an appearance of a distraction there and a hindrance to our walk. But it's all about perseverance. To be seen, to be visible, to be seen, to cause to see, to show, to look, to cause to look at intently at, behold, cause to gaze at, to be caused to see, to be shown, to be exhibited to. So you pretty much get the idea of what Solomon is talking about, that when your day of adversity comes, which it's going to come, stop and perceive it, consider it, discern it, distinguish it, give attention to it. Stop what you're doing and think about, what in the world is this coming on me? And it'll actually help when you stop and remember and reflect on Yah's word. It actually helps give you some hope to get through that adversity. You know, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. Exodus chapter 20, 18 through 20. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moshe, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not Yah speak with us, lest we die. Which reminds me, if y'all didn't see the video that Brother Kabir posted on about that interview with Reggie White, I know Pastor did one as well. And the one that Kabir had posted that, you know, Reggie White was actually talking about this experience that he came to an understanding with what happened to the people at, you know, Mount Sinai. And Moshe said unto the people, fear not. I mean, just be at peace. Understand. I want you to consider this. I want you to give attention to this, what I'm about to say. Fear not, for Yah is come to prove you. He wants to give you the chance and the ability to see what you actually have, if you got the mustard, if you got the, what do they call it, chutzpah, to see if you're actually going to, what you speak out of your mouth is actually something that your feet are going to perform by your actions. For Yah has come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. That's the whole idea in behind Yah's plan here, to prove you, to make you know what you're capable of and not capable of, and bring you to a place where you no longer walk or allow sin to come into your life. Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, in the Apocrypha, chapter 11, verse 14. Again, chapter 11, verse 14. And it says, prosperity and adversity. Didn't we just hear about that in Solomon's words? Same thing. Life and death, poverty and riches. So we have two extremes here, on one side and on the other side. Both sides of the spectrum. Prosperity and adversity, life and death, poverty and riches come of the Most High, or come of the Master. So we know where they originate from. We know where... who allows these things to happen solely for our betterment. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Pretty much self-explanatory. I mean, there's nothing that Yah's not, he said he's not going to put on us anything more than we can bear. So when we faint or when we give up or turn away because the adversity seems to give too much, we're actually making Yah out of a liar, because he said he's not going to overburden us with too much that we can't deal with it or bear it. He knows our frames. He knows that we're about dust. He knows what we can take. He knows what we're capable of. I mean, why would he purposely put us in a position where we fail? He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to overcome and to press through and get beyond and get such a resolve in our systems, in our hearts, in our minds, that we're going to have a determination to persevere and overcome anything, because Yahshua already proved that it can be done when he became flesh, when Yah became flesh. So don't faint, don't give up, don't turn away, don't go back. And if Yah, by his mercy, does give you the ability for another opportunity, it's there to test you again and to show you that he loves you enough to show you that you can do it. Again, Yah is not out there for your demise. He would that no man would perish, but all would come to repentance. That's his hope. So when you fail, repent and turn back your heart back to the Most High and press through again when it comes again. I'm sure that, like we talked earlier, when I mentioned Stephen Wendt, I guarantee there's days where they're like, man, you know, you just feel like giving up. You're done. You've exhausted yourself. And we all have that same thing. you know, with our lives, what we're pressed and what they're faced in. But it's all there as a trial, as a test. When you're out in the world, of course, like I said earlier, you can find other avenues to escape these things, but Yah don't afford us that. He's not about the escape mentality. He's about looking it straight in the eye and pressing straight through it. Consider it, standing objectively, you know, instead of getting angry, getting upset, you know, and just making things worse. All right, the word adversity here, I guess I think we talked about it earlier, but I'll mention, no, this one I didn't. This is another form of definition of adversity in this particular verse, but it's the Hebrews 68:69, but it's still part of that same. No, I did talk about that in the beginning. That's right. It was a breakdown. But it means a tightness. This is the Strong's. That is figuratively trouble, transitively a female rival. Adversary, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, trouble. Help me, Jesus, with my wording. Tribulation and trouble. So all the things that are there to prove us, to see whether we be in the faith or not. Psalm 94, 12 through 14. And after I go through these and the definitions, we're going to take a break. Psalm 94, 12 through 14. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Yah loves you enough. He cares about you. He sees that you have some value and that you have a determination, and he's actually going to allow things to happen and transpire in your life to get you to look at him and look at righteousness instead of turning away from it. O Yahweh, teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Is there going to be a time where we'll be removed? Yeah, he's telling you this, rest from the days of adversity. And that might be a week. That might be a month. That might be one day and then the next day and then one day and the next day. But it's all from the Most High. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You belong to him. That's why he's not going to forsake it. That's why he wants the best possible presentation, the best possible gift to present at the wedding at the end. The word rest in verse 13 is the Hebrew 8252. It's the brown driver again. And remember, the context is he'd be able to give them rest from the days of adversity, the days of affliction, the days of our anguish, distress, trouble, vexation. All these things that Satan is putting on us and trying to get us to go away and trying to give us to cave in, to not trust in the Most High, not to stop from leaning to our own understanding and examine what's going on and use a sensible and sound mind that Yah gave us and to know that it's for our benefit. Word rest, again, the Hebrew 8252, Brown Driver's Briggs, it means to be quiet. It means to be tranquil, be at peace. So to give us peace, to be at peace, to be quiet, rest, lie still, be undisturbed from the days of our adversity. So like I said in the beginning, he's going to allow us times in our life, recovery time. I mean, that's why he became flesh. Jesus even had to go up in a high mountain by himself to get away from the crowds, to get away from the questions and the people, to get some alone time with the Most High, with the Father, and just get rid of all the life's distractions so you just get and then get back right back into the fight again. To be quiet, be undisturbed, to be at peace of the land, to be quiet, be inactive, to show quietness. Well, we're never supposed to be inactive. We're always supposed to be on guard and sober to what is going on in our minds. Display of quietness. Substantive, to be quiet, be quiet, to cause quietness, pacify, ally. But the one I was looking for, to be tranquil, be at peace, be quiet, enjoy them days. Thank God, you know, thank the Most High for everything, that whether it's a day of peace or a day of adversity, never forget to give them thanks. Again, it's all for your betterment. It's all for your victory. All right, adversity here is this Greek or the Hebrew 74:51. Excuse me, the Hebrew 74:51. Ra, Ron Driver Briggs again. It means bad, evil. So he's going to give us peace, quiet, and rest, and to be able to lie still from the bad, from the evil, from the disagreeable, the malignant, from the unpleasant things, from the evil, giving pain, unhappiness, misery, evil, displeasing, bad, worse than worse. Sad, unhappy, rest from the days of unhappiness, the days of sadness, the days of woe, the days of discomfort, the days of mourning. He's going to give us rest from them days and allow us to get some recovery time. Evil, bad, unkind, in general, the persons of thoughts, deeds, actions, evil, distress, misery, injury, calamity, evil, distress, adversity, injury, wrong, misery, distress, wrong. I'm kind of skipping around because they keep repeating themselves, all depending on how they're used, but you get the idea. All right, let me see where I'm at. I am going to go ahead and queue up this break, and we will be back shortly with the ministry break in case there's any new listeners that might be joining us tonight. All right, I'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Always wonderful to remind us of them words every time. Glory to the King. Yeah, I was reading your comments, Brother Steve, as the ministry break was playing. You're right, yeah. And that's a good point, too. Yah, he's always got our best interests in mind, and he will. He'll send us faithful brothers and sisters. Just, it seems like, at the most difficult times that we are having in our lives, whatever that may be, he'll send us some type of beacon of hope, a phone call, a text, a nice letter, whatever the case may be. And it's like, it just kind of really should humble you, knowing that he's still looking out for you, that he's sending people to help pull you through this thing, because when you're feeling overwhelmed and, every corner you take and every road that you go down, there's You know, it's just insurmountable odds and obstacles before you. That, yeah, that is a very good point. And he does. He loves us that much. I mean, a quick testimony. I won't take long, but I was coming back from Lafayette one morning last week, and it was raining quite a bit. And, I mean, it was coming down. And I hit a puddle of water, right? I mean, it was right off to the side of the road. And it was enough to pull the truck right towards the ditch. I was probably doing 45, 50, you know, because the kitchen conditions weren't the best. But, I mean, it sucked that truck right for the ditch. And I countersteered to the left as quickly as I could because all I saw was ditch coming. And when I started going towards it, there was a car coming right then and there. I mean, I should have hit him, but I was able to countersteer back to the right again, headed for the ditch, and quickly countersteered back to the left and was able to straighten the truck out. It actually was in Deacon's truck, Deacon Bell's truck, because the black truck was being repaired. But anyway, it's like, man, I was remarkable. I was thanking Yah first because, of course, I always pray before I head out off the land or from where I'm at, you know, and ask for his protection. But I was like remarking, man, it's just like, you know, there was, you know, like Yah was with me, was just like pushing the truck one way or the other. Well, I get back to the land and I get by Wi-Fi and my phone shows me I have a Polo, Marco Polo, and it's from Brother Raymond all the way over in Sweden. And he was telling me that the Most High really put it on his heart to pray for me for my safety in my travels. I thought, man, isn't that something? Wow, look at that. So, I Poloed Brother Raymond right away back and told him what had happened. He was, of course, he was like, he was giving glory to the Most High. But that, yeah, our Yah is good. Always there looking, even when it seems like that, you know, all hope is lost, he's still there. All right, back on it. Back to the book of Ecclesiasticus in Sirach. Again, talking about adversity. And Sirach chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Man, some of those that I've loved, greatly loved, those that are closest to me, I've actually told them to lay this to heart and keep this in the forefront of their mind. Always memorize it if you have to, because these are some powerful 6 verses. And it says, my son, if thou come to serve Yahweh, prepare thy soul for temptation. You're going to get tried, tested, and here it comes from the tempter. Set thy heart aright. Be prepared, knowing that it's going to come, fully expecting so it doesn't catch you off surprise like some crazy thing just happened. And constantly endure, and make not haste in time of trouble. When things get all discombobulated, and you feel overwhelmed, and you feel the enemy pressing, and it's just one, you know, adverse situation after another, don't make a hasty exit. Don't make a hasty decision. Don't allow your mouth to speak hasty things. Stop and consider, like it said, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Cleave unto him. This is all direction when you're facing these type of situations. And depart not away, because the minute you leave, Yah, and that shadow of his abiding, that shadow of safety, that refuge, the enemy is going to press down even that much more. And that thou mayest increase at thy last end. You're going to actually profit because you've shown that you can overcome this, and you rest in the blood of Yahshua. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully. Now, who can do that? I mean, seriously, we haven't felt any physical affliction yet. I don't know, too many people have been, you know, bound up in chains and, you know, maybe a weekend prison or jail sentence or something, but nothing like our fathers of old have had to face. And it's going to be coming again. We all know that. Just read the book. But so whatsoever is brought upon thee, take it cheerfully. This is direction on how to get through it. Consider, take it cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. When you're humbled. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Those that are accepted of the Most High, his sons, those he's called to his righteousness, in the furnace of adversity. Believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. And again, how easy is it? It's one of these things, again, that is easy to speak and easy to say, and you know, but it actually takes a buckle down mentality, a huge resolve. I mean, you have to be fully determined in your own heart that when it comes, I mean, what was it, two mornings ago or 3 months? I don't remember what it was, but you know, who's ever been back to my place back there? It's like a quarter mile long road, and I try to do my best with the equipment we have on the land to keep the road nice for traveling, because I don't want to beat the mess out of the vehicles that go back and forth. And it's actually, you know, I've got it good enough now, especially with when we got the backhoe, to keep it definitely decently travelable. It's a little bit muddy and dirty, but because it's a dirt road or a clay road, that's what Tennessee is, clay soil. But man, I thought it was a beautiful morning. It was going to be 60 some degrees. This was last week. I'm going to, and I knew the brothers weren't needing the backhoe, because if they got it for something, I always said, yeah, man, they got something going on. So nobody, and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to get on the backhoe and I'm going to go in and haul some gravel up, dump it on the road, do a little bit of digging work, you know, make the water run off and make the road even better. And my God, I mean, I had all these smiles and this joy, and I'm, hey, you know, it's beautiful. And I sit so many hours in here behind the sound room on the phone that it's wonderful to get outside and smell the air, you know. And so, I'm just repeating something that everybody's been through, but I got back there and then the backhoe started acting up, and it started acting up. And I know, I figured it was a fuel problem. So if you quickly drain the fuel out and shut it off, if there's water or something in the filter, because diesel don't do well unless if it's got any air in the system or water, you can forget it. But I drained too much out and I couldn't get the thing started. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, now what do I do? Well, the lift pump that's on there, the handle that primes the lift pump had fallen off someplace when the brothers were using, so there was no way to get new fuel in the system. I'm like, oh, come on. This is a beautiful morning. This can't be happening. And the more that I seemed to do, the worse off it get. Then the battery died trying to start it. And it was, oh, my God. It was like, you know, for a 5 minute, you know, project, or, you know, half hour actually, but you know, it turned to 2.5 hours, 3 hours just to get the doggone thing running again. And so I took it down the hill. I was going to get some more gravel. It started running terrible. I parked it. I'm done. I'm done. I went through my adversity, right? I'm done. All right. I had to run to town and do some errands. I wanted to squeeze that in. It was a beautiful day. And the truck was a mess. So it's dirty. It's nasty. I'm going to take it up to the car wash, right? And it's a beautiful day, so the car wash is, you know, a lot of people going to the car wash. But there's two bays open. I zip into one, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get this done and, you know, make the truck look nice again, because it's always dirty on this from running up and down this road. So I get a five out of my pocket. I'm going to go get quarters. And there was a young gal in front of me. She put her money in the machine. She got her $5 worth of quarters. And I walk up there, and I'm trying to stick. They got two slots to take the money. And none of them take the money. Oh, come on. I can't believe this. I just want to wash the truck, right? It needs it. Well, then I look at the thing and both the lights are on. It's completely out of money. She just happened to suck up the last $5 and shut down. Oh, okay, I'm done. This is it. I'm done. All right. Okay, I'm out of here. Forget the truck. I'll wash it later. So I get back in, take a sigh. Okay, all right, I understand. No big deal. Nothing. We're just going to go. And then I got to run over and get some fuel. So I go over to the gas station, and I'm driving. Both the diesel pumps are open, and I'm driving. Also, some guy zips across the parking lot and goes in the one I'm going to go into. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll just drive around the other side and pull the other way. So I pull in the other way, and the damn gas pump it's got a bag on it. It's not working. Sorry for the inconvenience. I like, no, I can't do this no more. I can't do this. But I'll go home on empty. I thought. No, I went back and got fuel, but it's like I had to stop and inhale a few times and figure, it's just a light fixture, it's stupid, but I'm telling you, it was adversity all day long. It was just a trial and a test. It was like, man, it will. Ooh, boy. Just simple things, too. Anyway, I'm done running my mouth. All right, back to the study. I'm sure we could all spend hours talking about our story. Ah, glory to the King. All right, Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 9. And it says, thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So you get yourself a curse when you trust in you and your own ability to overcome things. Make a flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Yahweh. Trust the old way, the old nature, the old thoughts, to be able to escape the adversity. You bring a curse to yourself. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, because he's so focused on his own self and determined that he's going to make himself a way of escape, when only Yah can make the way of escape. And he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land, and not inhabited. I mean, you're going to make yourself worse, not better. I mean, there's actually no hope at all in the arm of our own flesh. But blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, whose hope is in the Most High. That's where you get your blessing from. Oh, this is up to verse 9. Excuse me, Brother Ugly. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, right? a root that continually can suck up moisture through the roots and feed the tree, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river to be absorbed and get more nourished and fed. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall. I mean, these adversities, that's the rest that we heard about earlier that the Most High talked about. He's going to give us rest. Planted by the water. Just let the roots spread out, and taking them good things, trusting in the Most High, trusting in his ways, leaning to him instead of our own understanding. But her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know if it's going to turn back to the arm of flesh or it's going to trust in the Most High in the day of adversity? You'll find out in a quick hurry. All right, Psalms chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. And it says, the wicked, describing and giving a certain category to these people and what they do and don't do. Through the pride of his countenance, I can do this all by myself. I'm lifted up, got my chin up, got my nose up. I got this figured out. Will not seek after Yah. Yah is not at all in their thoughts. They're going to make the way. They've got their own vision about how to do things. And all it turns out to be is a poor way of escape. And just like it said in Jeremiah, that they're going to find out that they're in a dry desert place with no help at all. His ways are always grievous, talking about the wicked. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight, not understanding what the will of Yah is. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Again, lifted up in his pride. I can do this. I can make the determination. I'm going to make everybody else feel my adversity. And he saith in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Wow, come on. That is prideful. That is somebody that's seeking to be made perfect, seeking to be tried, to be proven. And you know, Yah resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And through 27, Luke 13, 22 through 27. And Yahshua says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open to us. And he shall answer and say to you, I know you not whence you are, or who you are, or where you're coming from. Then shall you begin to say in justification, man, master, man, Yahshua, we did eat and drink in thy presence, and thou didst teach in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. those workers of lawlessness that don't take the ways of the Most High, make their own law, make their own decisions, make their own choices outside of that of the will of the Most High and His Most High and His prescribed program for getting free. All right, and I got to get something out of the book of Job. Absolutely, I mean, yeah, because Job, I mean, you want to read about it, adversity and being able to endure and watching what a man goes through when his trial is heavy upon him, even though Yah said we can bear it. I mean, everybody in this room has probably read Job, at least I hope so. Man, it is a beautiful thing to reflect on. I mean, it was written for our learning, was it not? Job chapter 5, 17 through 27. Job chapter 5, 17 through 27. Behold, happy is the man whom Yahweh correcteth. Again, we heard earlier, blessed is the man who Yah chastens. Now we hear, happy is the man whom Yah correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. It's there to help us get better. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. So he's allowing this to happen so he can make us better, make us whole, more righteous and more pure for him. That's what it's all about. It's all geared towards making it presentable for the Most High. That's why he's doing it, because he's going to have himself a righteous and holy people. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Why? Those who are happy about the correction, that don't despise it. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In six times of adversity, in six areas in your life where you're going to get challenged. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. Now, these are all promises, and Job knew it. He had experienced it. That's why he was able to speak it. He had been through this fire, been through this testing. So who better to actually explain it to everybody else that would come behind and read what he went through? In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Oh boy, hidden in the time of troubles. What did Yahshua say? Pray that you be worthy to escape all those things coming upon the face of this earth. And if you're not praying, I would suggest that you incorporate it quickly in your prayers, that Yah may have mercy on you and spare you, as Jesus instructed us to pray. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, from backbiters, from those that speak malicious words and are there for your destruction, from your adversaries. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. Why? Because you trust in the Most High. When it looks like the whole world is coming down upon you, you're going to be able to stand strong. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace when Yah gives you that rest. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. When you can prove to the Most High that you can actually endure it, and that with patience endure it, this race set before you. All these things are promised. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. So keep your mind on these promises when tough times come. Thou shalt come to the grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Pay attention to it. Listen. Embrace it. Plant it upon your mind. Keep it in your heart. James chapter 5, the book of James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of Yahshua for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. So now there is, again, another direction here provided for us. Go back and read what they endured, what they went through, what Yah brought them through. I mean, we all know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, all these things. He brought Joseph through his years of prison and made him second in command. You know, I mean, we have countless stories. We have the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Why? Because we know that we're all faced with the same afflictions, and we can see that it should have a rejoicing in your heart when you see a brother or sister that is going through some adverse times and facing some adverse situations in their life. And if you've been praying for them because your helpers one to another, and you can see them come out on the light end of the day, and knowing that it's because you were there to help them out to get through this thing, that you can actually rejoice with them and you can be happy that they endured this, that they pressed through instead of giving up and turning back. You have heard of the patience of Job, which we just read, and have seen the end of Yahweh, that the Most High is very pitiful and of tender mercies. I think it left off one word, but I think that's the end of the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 through 18. For all things are for your sakes. Everything we face in this life is for our good, for our sakes, for our benefit. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving, may redound to the glory of the Most High. For which cause we faint not. Why? Because we have the glory of the Most High. We have His abundant grace and the thanksgiving of many to help pull us through these hard times. For which cause we faint not, because we have that hope, that example of those that went on before us, that those we watched go through in our lifetimes. But though our outward man perish, glory, hallelujah, that the inward man is renewed day by day, making us stronger and more righteous and pure. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, you remember the man that wrote this and penned this, the Apostle Saul, I think it was in Philippians, if I remember right, where he gives a list of everything that he had to endure. I mean, and it's a rough list. I mean, this is all stuff that physically affected him, that was an adverse reaction to his actual flesh. And when you start putting stuff on the flesh, I mean, the impulse right away is to, especially in this day and age, in this society, man, we seek comfort. I mean, we run. That is a lot of people's crown, is how much comfort they can find. And the devil, he is fully obliged to make whatever way he can for us to feel totally comfortable, at ease, and in a false sense of peace. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's temporary. Now, when you're in it, when you're in adverse conditions, it's like sometimes it gets like, you know, does anybody ever think that it's, like I tell people when I counsel them, when I talk to them on the phone, is that it'll be behind you someday. Just, I know it looks like it's rough right now and that there's no hope, but believe me that there is. And you, like everybody else that is in the way of this truth, has been through some affliction. That's expected. I mean, through much tribulation, we shall enter in the kingdom of Yah. You are not going to get around it. Accept it. Embrace it. Look for Yah in it. Trust in Him, and He will bring you through it. And then when you get through it, it's like, then you have a different way of looking at it. So, you know, because that sigh of relief, that rest comes that you get before the next battle comes, before the next, you know, adverse situation arises in your life. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but that's keep your vision in the things which are not seen, the eternal, the heavenly. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Again, these are all reminders of what we need to concentrate and focus on when we're going through tough times, when we have to endure. And let us not be, Galatians 6, 9, and 10, and let us not weary in well-doing. Don't get slow up. Don't let yourself get turned off to the side, your feet to go to the left or right. Stay in the game. For in due season we shall reap. I don't care who you are. And if you're a saint of the Most High, you know that you have your seasons. All right, everybody. If you ain't having no seasons, either you've already arrived and you can make peace of any situation, glory be to the King, or you're not getting tested. And I should be concerned. You should be concerned. But You know, there's going to be things coming in our life that are going to test us. Obviously, we call them seasons. But when you make it through it, you will reap. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not or don't give up hope. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done. Verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Yahshua HaMashiach. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to repeat what I said. Paul is saying, Timothy, you heard me say this. Go ahead and repeat it, because it's contained in the gospel of Yahshua HaMashiach, who shall be able to teach and keep passing this down. This is the same program that Yah, you know, incorporated when he gave Moses command to tell the people that, you know, you pass this word down, this law down to your families, to your sons, to your daughters. I think it's Deuteronomy 6 or Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Don't commit it to the wicked or the ungodly or those that are not willing to add to their talent. Give it to those that are striving to be better, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahshua HaMashiach when the tests and trials and the adverse conditions come. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All right, Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Again, these are all verses that the apostles or the prophets of old or the kings of old have already spoken and been put into writing to tell us and to remind us that they went through it, and they're leaving us an example that you too can do the same thing when it looks like rough things and rough seas are in front of you. Psalm 31, chapter 31 through 6. A psalm and song of the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Yahweh, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Most High, my Elohim, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. It took David some action. He had to be proactive and seek the face of the Most High, that his enemies not get the place to rejoice over him or to see his defeat. O Yahweh, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down the pit, giving all thanks to the Most High and proclaiming from the heart what Yah had truly done for him. David recognized it, had a soberness to know a vision. He considered what Yah had done for him in all these adverse conditions, and he was just reflecting it in his songs. Sing unto the Most High, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Just a light affliction, just a short season. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. In a day of hope, in a day of rest, in a day of peace, David made that commitment to himself. Dang it, when it comes back around again, if it does, I'm not going to be moved. I'm resolving in myself, this is my stance, because Yah is my keeper. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 25, 1 through 4. O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. The counsels of old are faithfulness and true. For thou hast made a city and heap of a defense city, and recognizing, Isaiah is recognizing and proclaiming what he knows the Most High can do, what he's capable of, because he's Yah, he's a creator. A palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall a strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. And we're going to finish up on James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. James chapter 4, 7 through 10. And James writes, submit yourself, therefore, to Yahweh. The first thing we need to be doing, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Yah. That's how you submit yourself to him. Draw nigh to him. Draw nigh to his word. Draw nigh to his promise. Draw nigh to his truth, no matter how adverse the situation is. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight. If that's what it's going to take for you to draw nigh to Yah, to get back in that place from the shadow of the Almighty, then you best do it. Be afflicted and mourn. Go to him in prayer. And he shall lift you up. Let him put you back. In your weakness, he is made strong. One more, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of the Most High, from the love of Yahshua? Only we can do that. Bottom line is, only you can be the one to separate yourself from the love of Yah. Shall tribulation do it? Not if you're in the love of the Most High and keep yourself there. Shall distress do it? No. Not if you don't allow it to separate you. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And Paul lists all these things. He can list them all because he's been through them. Yahshua went through them. And he was an overcomer. And thank Yah for that. By his blood we will overcome, and by his testimony we will overcome. Well, glory to the Most High, saints. That is the conclusion of the study on adversity. I hope you were able to be edified by it and gain some strength out of it. It is my hope. And as always, I appreciate you tuning in and, for listening for this Blog Talk segment tonight. Again, as always, keep our shepherd, Pastor Dowell, in prayer. To the utmost, as anybody that faces more adversity than anybody else, that's him coming not only from, those that are within, unfortunately, but it's the truth, but those that are without, especially when you're on a media platform. You know how many curses and negative words and things that are spoken on a daily basis against the man of Yah? No wonder he says, pray for me for his strength. This stuff can overwhelm you. I mean, I get testimonies of people that are going through things and, all of a sudden they're getting zapped with dizziness and they're getting overwhelmed with some type of anxiety. And I tell them, man, pray against it. Return the curses. Yah give you the ability, authority, and the power to do it, and turn the battle back to the gate. And I've got reports back that, man, you wouldn't believe this, but, so-and-so that I know, all of a sudden they've been taken, just overwhelmingly sick. And, and Yah is going to expose. I mean, darkness is not going to hide in that light. It won't do it. And you'll expose the enemy and you'll know how to pray from there on out to stop this stuff coming. Yeah, it should be done daily, returning daily, every day curses, especially for the man of Yah. Resist the devil. He will flee. That's done by prayer, fasting, and drawing nigh to Yah's word and to him. And pray for all the leadership. We all need it as we stand as judges and as ministers of the truth. But we're all ministers of the gospel. That is the truth. And, of course, as I always say, pray one for another, always, that we may be strengthened, that the adversary, or the Satan, our adversary, don't get advantage over us. Hey, I pray y'all have a blessed week, that your hope and mind is stayed on the King continually, and that you never go away from trusting him, no matter what situation or circumstances will be, because we do have a continual time of trial and testing. Okay, I love y'all too. Again, you have a blessed week. Shalom, and the King definitely is coming.